So we graduated first. We started with 120. We ended up graduating 69 guys because the attrition rate was pretty bad with hazing and everything, and kids realizing they didn't really want to go there. So it's the ones that really had no place else to go or the ones that wanted to go to sea were the ones that stuck it out.
And you were the latter. You wanted to go to sea.
Yeah, I did. And so there were four of us. We interviewed. There were four of us hired by Exxon. They flew us down to Houston for interviews, mm-hmm. and which was a pretty good treat because they were paying for, you know, they put us in a hotel, they flew us down. Yeah. Remember, we flew down in a dress blues, and we all had stripes on our sleeves, and so we didn't fly that much, and this is days of air travel was pretty nice, you know, and good-looking stewardesses and whatnot. And mm-hmm. So while we're flying, I remember one of my ears plugged up. You know how it is with the pressure change and stuff, so stewardess come out, were talking to us, because there were like three of us in one row, and they were talking to us. I says, "Yeah, well, how do you guys take care of the ear, you know, ear blinders?" And they were all laughing. They go, "What's so funny?" He says, "What are you talking about? You're a pilot. You should know about this." And they stop and pause here. "Oh, no, we're not pilots." So we went down and we got hired, and one of the guys, I guess, just retired. He just retired now after. We started there in 74, graduated in 74, 1974, and he just retired. It's almost 40 years, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while. But
yeah, so you started work for Exxon right out of the academy.
Yeah, first tanker was, and this is an age, too, because I was thinking about all the stuff that happened in shipping while I was going. Now, a lot of stuff, the guys that the old-timers on here, I call myself an old-timer, too, but the older guys that were started at the end of the war or whatever, right. They've seen a lot of changes too, but there's period like from the 40s and 50s and early 60s, even mid to late 60s, things were pretty much the same. Stick ships, you know, mm-hmm. container ships were like, what's that? And two house tankers, small ships. But when I started, it was the start of the era of the super tanker, you know, and ships just grew exponentially. Container ships just replaced all the stick ships.
Yep.
You know, diesels replaced all the steamships. All the navigation tools that they had from World War II up into 1970, mm-hmm. you know, they stayed the same. They had the radar, and they had Loran. Okay, Loran A. Well, we saw the implementation of Loran C, mm-hmm. Satellite navigation, SatNav, right. and GPS, ECDIS. All these things have come online in this space, you know, 30 years up there. Mm-hmm. So,
when you started, was all that stuff in place, or was it kind of you were in the middle of it, of the change?
No, there was nothing there. VHF radios.
Yeah.
VHF radios were new. We had this old big thing set up on the Ford bulkhead, I remember, the first ship I was on. And it was terrible. I don't even remember. It must have been VHF or something. It couldn't have been. It was some other communication device mm-hmm. they had. I was just third mate at the time. But they talked to the pilots on it. And then VHF radio came out. And that was mid-70s. Mm-hmm. So that was new. I mean, we had a radar. We had an old fathometer. And we were commenting on the one on the Brown, the one with the ring that goes around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Raytheon fathometer. We had those. And Loran A. Loran A, which is where you had to match, you've seen those?
I think so, yeah.
You had to match the sky waves, it was an oscilloscope.
Right.
And the ground wave, hopefully, if you had one. Match them up, and then you write down the numbers, and then you go to the chart, interpolate between the lines, and then you plot one line of position. That was cool then. And everything else after that was new.
What's all these